Hello and welcome to Happy Hour on the Fringe. Fringe Arts is Philadelphia's premier presenter of contemporary performing arts. I'm April Rose, the Independent Artist Programs Manager here at Fringe Arts, and today we invite you to join us in a happy hour conversation with Evan Nyden of Candle House Collective. Candle House Collective is an experimental theater company that creates performances for one audience member at a time. Their work typically takes place over the phone, which is why I was so excited to speak to Evan today and talk about how this work is made, what inspires the work, and how to engage with audiences remotely, which we're all kind of have been doing for the first time, many of us, this past year. So, hey, Evan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Evan, I gave a little bit of an introduction to Candle House and what you all do, but I was wondering if you could, you know, start us off with a little bit of a history of yourself and how you started this work.
Absolutely. I came to immersive theater from a few different places. One of them was I had a fairly early fascination with alternate reality games. So for those who aren't familiar, alternate reality games are sort of, in very basic terms, internet scavenger hunts that that take the form of puzzles and drops and trails and discoveries across the internet. They've sort of been around since the internet was starting out. These digital long form transmedia hunts that anyone with an internet connection can get involved in and discover. And what I always loved about them is that, or some of them, is that they would adapt their content and their gameplay to the players sometimes. You know, the game would actually develop in response to how the players were playing. And that's something I was really drawn to because the adaptation was taking place not in a passive way, the way, you know, actors on a stage might adapt to an audience, or not passive, but in a, you know, in a cerebral way, but in a very real, tangible, intimate, immediate kind of way. And to me, that represented something I wanted to see in theater as well. The idea that an audience member can actively change a space by being in it, and they can do that wherever they are in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you start out with performance, or were you more of a game person when you started creating this? Or, you know, what is your history with, like, I guess theater, we might call it, or drama?
So I have a theater background and also a background in traditional folk storytelling. We sort of consider ourselves to be storytellers first, because that's always, you know, what I thought of alternate reality games, is that they were, it was this kind of storytelling I'd never seen before, but it felt uniquely authentic. So we're very storytelling oriented. Even the name of our company, Candle House Collective, is a reference to probably my favorite folk tale, bar none, called The Cottage of Candles. Our pilot project was called Last Candle ARX, also a reference to that story, which was pretty heavily inspired by both folklore and that alternate reality game format. It invited 50 participants to consistently engage with the world we created over the course of about 5 months, and to shape it and affect it as we went along. And from there, my background in theater, in storytelling, and with alternate reality games, plus an early love of haunted houses, really taught me a lot about what mediums and how many mediums have the capacity to create this sort of intimate, adaptable space. And how those could be applied not just on a 5 month level, like an alternate reality game or like our first project, but on a micro level as well, which is what led us to kind of the shorter form ticketed experiences, which more closely resemble theater than alternate reality games.
Yeah, let's talk about the experience a little bit. So, because most of our listeners, I'm assuming, wouldn't have had the specific experience of seeing one of your, or not seeing is a hard word to use, but experiencing one of your shows. So if I'm an audience member for a Candle House Collective show, what am I walking into exactly? What's the experience like for me?
So in terms of our recent work, you know, we're very much an experimental theater company. We like to play with all the mediums that are available to us. But we've made our home in your telephone. So, you know, your cell phone. So for one of our kind of standard shows, you'd purchase a ticket, you'd get an email giving you some very simple instructions, like find yourself in your bedroom and turn down the lights, or make a playlist of 20 songs that mean a lot to you, or have a pencil and paper at the ready, you know. And that's that, plus a very vague description of what the piece is on the website, is kind of all you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And then at the time that you're experience is scheduled for, you'll get a call, you pick up the phone, and your experience begins. You're never, you know, our one kind of guarantee is that barring some light roles, maybe in some you'll be a volunteer for a helpline, in others you'll be somebody kind of going through a bureaucratic process, series of bureaucratic paperwork. We have a lot of respect for LARP and what that is, but we're very much, that's not what we do. We ask and expect that participants come as they are and just come as themselves, for everything that we do, which I think allows for a certain level of what's going to happen when you pick up the phone, because you know, at the very least, nothing's expected of you before then.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. And we talked about this before, and when we first met, and when I looked at some of the shows on your site, and I do like the idea that I as an audience member don't have to like come up with too much, because then you can just really, really be in it, as opposed to if I feel like I have to like come up with my backstory or try to be clever or try to do some type of role play, then I'm less focusing on what's happening and more focusing on like what my next move is. So I do like the idea that it's fully just like me showing up and getting hit with whatever I'm getting hit with on the other end of that.
And that's kind of, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, that's our theater background at work, because, you know, we, a lot of us do come from, are either actors or, directors or writers of theater, among other things. And we know the value of being able to escape the kind of responsibility that one might be used to. Now, in the stories, you might be given other responsibilities, but starting from a clean slate, starting with a clean slate is very important to us, because when you're about to hear a story or when you're about to see a play, all you know is that, you know, you're going to sit down when the lights go down, mm-hmm. and something is going to happen. And if all we're asking you to be is yourself, then that's all you have to do. You just have to wait for your phone to ring.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about the other sort of, I guess, like members of the collective? Who are the artists that are on the other end of the phone? You know, who are we meeting in this experience?
Sure. So we work with a pretty wide variety of actors, but our core team is currently myself. I'm the creator, and I create most of the offerings. John Ertman is our director in residence, and we have some core ensemble members that you know, fans of Candle House will definitely be familiar with: Katie Murphy, Taylor Feld, and our intrepid logistics manager Kevin Garcia. And we that at the moment is our core, but we are, that's kind of in a constant state of flux, and we're always very interested in adding more people and embracing kind of new voices. In fact, we just announced our incubator program, Candle House Collective Firestarter, which is going to be a program for new voices in the immersive style to create participatory pieces in collaboration with us.
That's really exciting. That's cool. Cool news to learn about. So when I'm experiencing a piece and I'm on my phone and I have someone on the other end, is the performer on the other end, are they usually working with a script, or are they improvising a lot with the way that I respond? Like, what is the structure like in the creative stages of it?
You know, we tend to keep those things behind the curtain, because really the most honest answer I can give you is there's no one formula.
Okay.
You know, every show, every offering necessitates something different. And everything calls for a different kind of interaction, a different kind of composition. So what we focus on, and what we have focused on, one of our sort of phrases that defines our creative process is, a story is a conduit for a connection, not the other way around.
Okay.
So what that means to us is, we always begin with that feeling, you know, with that sense of, we do this as a form of connection, and what kind of connection do we want this to be? How do we want to feel? What feeling do we want to offer other people? How do we want them to see themselves or their space or their loved ones, or the, you know, their surroundings en masse when they hang up the phone.
Okay.
And from there, we find a story that matches that and that we feel can engender that feeling, or we build a story around that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And because of that, the form stuff kind of happens later. You know, we don't start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because, again, the nice thing about being an experimental theater company is we do get to experiment and we get to tell stories on our terms,
mm-hmm.
which is where this whole phone theater thing came from in the first place.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your most recent, project? What is on, like, on sale ticket wise right now? What this most recent piece is?
So as of the date of this recording, there is going, our first Firestarter offering is going on sale in a few days.
Okay.
So I can't say a ton about that at the moment, but by the time this comes out, go to our website, tickets will most definitely be on sale. Our most recent project, though, and the one that is still, also as of the date of this recording, is still running, is our Help series, which is, it's, our Help series is three unique experiences, all founded around the idea of the Etc. helpline, this sort of, AirSat's helpline for life's inevitable everything else.
Okay.
Is what it says. So that's one of those in which the participant takes on the role of a volunteer and, is given a very short training, sort of.
Okay.
Before being jettisoned into a situation where they are, they're being called to for help by someone. They're being, you know, asked for help. And one of our longest running pieces was actually a part of that series. It started in early 2020, called Claws. It was a 30 to 50 minute telephonic thriller for an audience of one. And that one, I think, is a good example of what the standard of our work is. That one's on the shorter side for sure, but mm-hmm. it's a good example of this is, if you want a sample of what we do, that's a good place to start.
All right. And that's Claws, you said? Is that the piece you're describing?
Claws. Yes.
Claws. So I, one of the things that was so, when we first met and you called me about participating in the Fringe Festival, one of the reasons I was so interested to talk to you is that our artists that we normally work with in the Fringe Festival are live in-person performers, and you have been creating this work that, like, quote unquote, works in the COVID safe space for, you know, long before we were, you know, forced into isolation. So I want to ask, as I have been asking so many artists, how, like, working is different in this period, but have you noticed audiences reacting differently or being more accustomed to this kind of work, or, you know, how has anything changed for you in COVID, or has it at all?
Sure. So one of the biggest changes we noticed was the difference in the kind, in the stories that we were telling. So before the pandemic, we found ourselves creating work that embraced a degree of surrealism a lot of the time, that for which the phone was the most realistic conduit, but in which it was that, in which the phone was a conduit, because the phone these days, you know, in the days before quarantine, was something people were still used to. But I feel like, ironically, once quarantine began, people started having phone calls less, because why have a phone call when you can just be on Zoom and see somebody? You know, phone calls, which were already kind of dying out a little bit as a mode of communication, especially among younger generations, were being replaced by text, instant message, video of any kind. And then the pandemic happened, and that switch happened completely, and we realized that we didn't necessarily have to turn the phone into something else anymore, mm-hmm. because it already is something else. You know, in this time of isolation, a phone call means something unfamiliar. It means a call from, it means something we're not expecting. You know, most of the calls I get these days are, you know, reminders for meetings or spam or things like that, or wrong numbers, yeah. which I love getting wrong numbers. And I think help was a response to that, because we figured, okay, if phone calls have become as unfamiliar as they are, we don't really need to work to make them strange anymore. We can just create things that would be on the other end of a line. You know, that's what the help series was. It's you are a helpline representative, and the calls you're getting are, barring some fantasy elements or horror elements or supernatural elements, fairly true to form. And mm-hmm. we found that people responded to those a lot better than we were expecting, I think, because they didn't need that threshold of revelation, of transition anymore. Mm-hmm. Because getting a phone call is in and of itself a threshold of revelation.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I feel like, I mean, most of my calls at this point are reminding me of my, you know, auto policy that I don't actually have. And they're just these, like, robocalls. So the idea that, like, a phone call is already, like, a, you know, it's already something a little bit strange. And if someone's calling me, I automatically start sweating and wondering why they're calling me as opposed to shooting me a text. So, yeah, it is an interesting space to experience, like, surprise and differentness. So let's that thank you for, you know, commenting on the COVID. So I know that you're like already a pro in distanced, quote unquote, experiences. So most of the artists that I speak to talk so much about like moving something over that was already like in an in-person space. They like moving it over into a digital space and talking about like recording things and putting something on Zoom and then or taking like a video or something. But to my knowledge, none of your experiences are recorded. They're all very in the moment and very, you know, very reactionary, right? You're not, there's no like videos or like audio, like podcast version of what this is.
Yeah, everything we've done so far has been live, you know, because again, we come from a theater background. We know that live theater has that thing, you know, that undefinable X factor that that you can't get from pre-recorded media. There are plenty of wonderful things that come from pre-recorded media. We love radio dramas and audio dramas probably more than anybody else, but there is this electricity that comes with that. And when you add the uncertainty of something like a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it allows people to take the leap of faith, a similar kind of leap of faith to walking into the kinds of spaces that immersive theater usually inhabits, you know, that may not look like traditional theaters, that may not look like a space that we understand, you know, a ringing phone can be anything. And that to us, that kind of potential energy there is a really, is probably the most inspiring part of this, of what we do.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Yeah, the idea. And so in most of these experiences, this is such a specific question, in most of these experiences or all of them, the audience member is receiving the call. They're not making the call in.
Yes, they're receiving the call. There have been a few where they do actually make the call in. But again, okay. It all depends on the story and the connection.
On the story. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, I have yet to experience Claws. I saw the trailer for it. I'm very scared of it. It looks incredibly spooky, but it's something that I live, you know, alone, and I'm scared to call in to or have someone call me with that one. But I'm trying to muster up the courage because I know the audience is supposed to be in their bedroom in the dark. And I don't do scary things very well, but I'm excited to try it out. And I'm excited to see the new work that's coming out. You said this week?
Yep, this week.
Awesome. So can you tell us, Evan, where to find you, where to find Candle House Collective, where can we access this work?
Absolutely. So you can visit candlehousecollective.com and you can follow us on Instagram at candlehousecollective.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Evan. And, you know, we'll hope to see what you bring to the 2021 Philadelphia Fringe Festival. We hope to see you there. And thank you so much.